Amen. Well, we should all be out in the lawn watching. We're in this kind of good weather, but you're here, and we welcome you this morning, and glad that you're here. I want to read this morning, if I might. Well, let me go back up a little bit further. That I've called this, what I want to share. You know, a message is different from a sermon. I think a sermon's relatively easy to get. It's harder to get a message. You know, something that you feel that God has laid on your heart and that it would resonate within and would be a strong blessing in that person's heart. So I found that I think I have a message. I called it, called to a person. Called to a person. And I base it around 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to verse 3. Again, very, very conscious in my own heart here today and in the days ahead. As I said, I think my days are numbered. I think my days are numbered, and then there's the platform opens, and down you go, right? Or a hook out the side there. But I haven't forgotten somebody calculated last Sunday that I've preached 1,400 sermons. I think they dozed off on about 200 there. So you have to get a life. You can't be counting the sermons up. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 to verse 3, if you'll track with me, this is what Paul wrote, so, so important. But I fear, this was his concern, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted, and this is the beauty of it, from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. There's a simplicity in serving the Lord. Oh, you can make it complicated. You can make it very thick and heavy and difficult, but Paul says it's not that way. There's a simplicity in Christ Jesus, but you have to guard it lest you become corrupted. So I made up some things that I think we have to guard against. Things that are forever, not just today for me, but for all of us, there's a danger of this pure simplicity that you've enjoyed, that I've enjoyed, can get off, that it no longer, now it's, well, I'll try and suggest some of the things. So these are called, I call them dangers to avoid. Number one, the danger of ministering for Christ out of self-effort. So when you give your heart to Jesus and maybe you get baptized and you're now on your journey, that it's easy to just switch into self-effort, just that which I could do just in the natural. And so I think I've told you this story before, but I remember one time there was a young guy, he was coming from it wasn't even the office then, it was probably down this side, and I shouted out, I said, hey, how's it going? And he said, oh, doing my best, Pastor, doing my best. Oh, I said, you're doomed. You're finished. I said, you're not doing your best. But that's what he thought it was, that you try and don't smoke, don't this, don't this, don't this, don't this, don't this. And it developed into a life of self-effort. And I said, you will, be, in a short while, you will begin to hate your faith. And you will be angry at God as to why he made it so difficult in the first place. So I said, it can't be done that. To constantly guard against the performance orientation that because I, for example, for myself, I know how to talk Christianese. And I know what's kind of required. And I know what evangelical churches emphasize. And so it's not too hard to begin performing out of your own flesh and out of your own ability. And if you're good at it at all, no one will even question it. But you'll know in your heart that there's something missing. So that's the first danger. Oh, just a couple of thoughts. I'm not sure where I first started saying this, but I've often felt that there's three kinds of flesh. You know, the Bible talks about not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. I think there's three kinds. There's average flesh. That's what most people have. There's loser flesh, and there's grade A flesh. I think that the average flesh is that you do what Christians require you to do. But loser flesh is another level, and grade A flesh is, now I'll cut in at the bottom. There are people who have grade A flesh, and they can, you know, they can sing, they can do this, they can do that. It's absolutely amazing how capable they are, but they don't ever need to try to rely on the Lord, because they can do everything. And I've seen a lifetime of people that have been walking after the flesh, and because they're just the way they are, they can amaze you. But you wouldn't have to be a Christian to do it. And so we have to constantly, it doesn't matter whether I have average flesh or loser flesh or grade A flesh, flesh is flesh. And we must not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I remember reading about this T-shirt, and on the front part of it, as you approach the person, it was a question. It says, "How am I doing, Mom?" And when the person got past you, it said, "Try harder." Well, you might have had a mother that way that had made you try harder. I don't know. But I think that's what some of us think. How am I doing? Try harder. Go to more meetings. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And we start doing those things. If you're good at it, it's to your advantage. But it's flesh, and it must go the way of all things that are flesh. Number two, there's the danger of the continuous search for something else. For something else. Fads. There are Christian fads. I remember being with Brother Pritchard one day, and he was telling me some of the dangers. He said, it's just dressed a little different, but it's the same thing that we had problems with in 1934. And of course, that's what he was around in those days. But this search for something more, I'll just throw it. There's nothing. It could have been anything, but here's some of the things. Prophecy. Nothing wrong with prophecy, except that it can go kind of weird, kind of different. And it's just, to me, you say, nothing, because we teach it, it's important, but we must guard it that it not get a hold of you, and that becomes... yikes, you know, so there's people who can get into that, and they won't change their mind, and they won't change the subject. It's too much. Prophecy. I remember the shepherding movement with the fivefold ministry out of Fort Lauderdale. That affected everybody. Affected people in Regina, Saskatchewan, if you could imagine that. And I liked some of those guys, Derek Prince and different ones that were associated with that. But that became somewhat of a concern. And finally, they repent. These leaders, these five leaders, they repented and apologized for getting the body of Christ off the main thing. So, shepherding movements. I remember there was a thing went by. It went through called the Song of the Lord. And then we were to all begin to sing the Song of the Lord. Well, nothing wrong with singing a song, but this was not that. This was beyond that. And I can just remember that, I wonder where that was going to take us. Because it always takes you somewhere. And that's why the danger of it. Holy laughter. So I say, well, holy laughter is of the Lord. Some of it. Yeah, nothing wrong. Some of you could use a bit of holy laughter. It's just, but when it becomes really too much, and then everybody's doing it, and everybody's into it. And I remember there was a thing on accountability that I would submit myself to Joe. Joe would submit himself to somebody else, and we'd all be committed. And we couldn't really think on our own. You just had to do what the other person did, and you checked in. But it was taking people somewhere that maybe some of them didn't want to go. There's always some new thing. Remember that. There's always something new coming down the pike. If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow, but it will be different. Because as Paul wrote, and he said, there's your simplicity. Don't lose that. So precious to have that. Don't lose it. And because there will be something that will divert you and just turn you off a little bit. And you're going to say, I mustn't. Matter of fact, I can remember getting and reading different, maybe not getting into it, but reading different things. And I would find myself maybe some months later saying, how did I get here? Where did I go wrong on that stuff? I started off so good, and then I'm not so good on it. And I thought, well, that's not hard. It's not hard to get off track. It's very, very easy. You read a book, you really like it, and then you find you're going to the seminar in town. And then you go to brother so and so is going to take up an offering, and you're kind of predictable a little bit, but something new coming down, and it will, if you're not careful, it will have that effect of it detracting you and detracting me. And a lifetime of you know, this is the whole thing, isn't it? To give a lifetime of faithfulness to the things of the Lord, you don't want to have something divert you. So when you say, I want to walk with the Lord, and you want to walk with the Lord, and that's the simplicity of it. So there's the third thing. There's the danger, the danger of religion. I remember somebody just within a month or so said, are you religious? I said, does it show? I was hoping it wouldn't show. I said, that's the last thing in the world I want to be, is religious. There's enough religion to outlast everybody forever. We don't need more religion. We need Christ and the simplicity of knowing him. But it's easy to get religious. You keep rules, and there's things that are required, and you can never miss the meeting, and on it goes. It becomes quite religious, and you become known as quite a religious person, but not necessarily a spiritual person. Somebody who really loves Christ and serves him and follows him. But there's a danger that you can become, and I say, when you're around long enough as an evangelical Pentecostal Christian, I've seen it's kind of say, oh, here it comes. This is going to, and that person is into something usually, but they're not as much fun as they used to be. They're taking their faith way, way, way too serious, and Jesus not enough serious. I found myself, I want to be fun to be around, not when you avoid people because they've become somewhat religious. And that's just the danger of becoming religious. Instead of being delicious and people want to, you know, get close to you because they sense Jesus in your life, that's a far cry from a religious spirit. But so we just take a look at it. We say, okay, now we're aware of that. The next one, the danger of the barrenness of busyness. The barrenness of busyness. How are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy. How are you? Busy. Oh, busy. You won't believe how busy I am. I'm busy. Yeah, quite really busy. And that will kill you. If you are always busy, if I am always busy, I think we can get off track on that, just because legitimate things, yes, in themselves, yeah. But it strips you. It strips me. Is that I'm not enjoying his presence because there's not any time. And so that's just a danger there for all of us, is that you get so busy that you don't have time for devotions. You get so busy you can't go to the church services that are valid. And so we say, Lord, keep me balanced on this thing. Right? So that's simple. You say, Lord, keep me balanced, that I don't get off track in any way, shape, or form. Another danger, the distorted image of myself. Pride. Yeah. Superiority. Arrogance. Where a ministry is really a good ministry, and then it becomes arrogant. And feelings of superiority, especially this just distorted image, and then I start thinking that I'm something, and you start thinking that you're something, and we forget that we're nothing. Only by the grace and mercy of the Lord has anything good ever been allowed to come into our life. It's because of mercy and mercy alone not because I was able to pull it off or you were able to pull it off. There's a danger, and when we walk carefully so that we don't get taken up with it, and that's why it's, you know, as a married man, there's nothing better than a wife. There's nothing better than a wife. A wife who tells you how it is when you really wish she wouldn't have. And, you know, just that you've just got it all together, and then she distorts you with a balloon. Just poof. And she brings you down to earth that you no longer can believe in your own press. You just can't. She's wrecked it. And she's wrecked it because she told you the truth. And it's a good thing to have, right? I mean, it's a good thing to have a husband or a wife who can tell you the truth about your life to keep you humble. And well, we'll leave it at that. I'm getting depressed. But I'm grateful for her. I am. Here's the truth. No matter what you've done, or what you have accomplished, or the ministries that you have started, it's always the same ending. They'll throw dirt on your face and go back to the church for potato salad. And someone else steps up to the plate. I'll read that again. No matter what you've done or what you've accomplished or what ministries you've started, they'll throw dirt on your face and go back to the church and have potato salad. It's just true. It's just true. And there's not a verse for it, but it's true. Secondly, so those are some of the dangers. These are the things that, and I think you could add to it, but my observation is that there'll be new things. Even good things. Like I remember Key 73. I remember, I found it, and you can find it too. I remember, there's about five or six other things in there. They were all evangelical, but I began to wonder, it was a focal point. And then it shifted off, and then you don't hear about anything like that for a long time. Just it seems like forever you don't even hear anything. And then something else comes, and I'm always, my attitude is, what's coming next? There will always be something coming. And we must discern whether that's a good thing or not. But it's not a good thing if it takes away the simplicity you have in Christ. Just that loveliness of serving Jesus. Number two, the Christian life is Christ. The Christian life is Christ. It's not a religion. That isn't. It's not a teaching. It's a relationship. That's how it started. That's how it's going to end. It's going to start. It's going to be just a relationship with Jesus. And the beauty of that, and you know, just that you can draw. You're not ashamed of anything, any part of it, because it's about Christ. We're not flogging a certain denomination. We're not getting involved in some crazy thing. We just love Jesus. It's quite a thing. When people say, "What religion are you?" So we're not really in a religion. It's about Jesus. And we can talk that way. So here's the definition. A vital personal relationship with the one, and here it is, who laid down his life for me so that he could give his life to me so that he could live his life through me. For me, to me, through me. Let's say it again. Who laid down his life for me so that he could give his life to me so that he could live his life through me. And that's it. That's how it works. That's all that's required. This personal relationship. So wonderful. For me, to me, through me. And we enjoy the fruit of that. Number three, there's a scripture from Colossians chapter 3. For you died, this is one of my favorite verses, by the way, just a great verse. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, that's good. Colossians 3, and verse 4, when Christ, who is your life? Who is your life? Wow. For Christ, who is your life, and appears, then you will appear with him in glory. as well. I can go a long ways on that verse. It's one of those vitamin C verses that just get better and better. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, that is beautiful. And how do you improve on it? It's all about the Lord and the power of that. So good, so encouraging. And so my primary calling, your primary calling, is to Christ, not to people. The danger is, you can't accomplish much if you're always surrounded by many. There has to be these breaks where you pull away to make sure that you're becoming authentic. Is my life an authentic Christian life? Or is it something else? Is there a religiousness about it? Is there some legalism about it? These are the questions, the hard questions we ask. Is it making me more authentic, more genuine? Does my neighbor see Christ in me at all? Does your neighbor see Christ in you? These are the powerful things to ask and to look inward. These are the spin-offs. The joy, I don't even know if it's in you, I guess it is, the joy of experiencing his life. I don't think it gets any, can it get better than this? Just knowing Christ, who gave himself, laid his life down, gave his life for us. And that's the calling. It's beautiful. The joy of experiencing his life. If somebody says, how's your Christian journey? It's good. It's the best. And it gets getting better and better and better. Most things in my life always faded out. When I was a little kid, it would always drop. It would always just cease to be fine. It started off good, but I knew it was going to. Maybe this is the problem of living in an alcoholic home. Everything did come to an end. But it would always end. It would be good, and then it would end. It would be good, and nothing ever lasted. But I can honestly say to you, this has started off with a journey in my own heart and life as a young, really a young boy. And what's my testimony? My testimony is that this stuff is getting better. It's not diminishing. Say, well, it wasn't the good. No. It's to experience his life. He spent giving your day over to him. Say, now, Lord, let's go. Let's journey together. Let's be open to what you have for us, Lord. So that's just that joy of it. The promise from Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 37, is that water will flow out of you. Out of your innermost being, water will flow. I've had to, on occasion, say, Lord, you promised water, a gush. I need that. I'm feeling dry. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling whatever. But Lord, you promised that. You said, out of my innermost being. So Lord, let that flow of eternal water just flow through out of me into others. And that promise. So if you don't have that reality, then it could be pretty dry. Rest for the soul. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 36. We all know that. And he will give us rest. That's the whole point of that verse. He will give us rest. Rest for our soul. And so there's places for renewal. And every once in a while, you'll be aware, if you're measuring your life at all, you'll be aware that you've been maybe a little parched, or it's been a while, too much TV, too much entertainment, too much of this, too much of that. And you're kind of every once in a while conscious of it, that I'm running on E. And I need to pull over and get some things right, get some priorities in place so that I can go the distance. And you'll need to do the same as well. But rest for your soul. There's a place for it where you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I've been running on E, and I'm just going to pull over here. I'm not talking about watching TV. That's probably the other end of it. But just this whole thing of resting, that your soul is resting. You say, oh, that was so important that I do that. Yeah, probably is. Probably was. And then, of course, passion for a person. Making sure that you keep it simple. It's absolutely necessary that you control this, that you let the Lord work a work in your heart. But so the simplicity that's in Christ will be the same way. So we're able to say, Caroline Jackson is always the same. She's always the same. We see her on Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Friday or a Saturday. She's always the same. And I actually can say that. I can say that. Because she's meaning to keep it simple. The simplicity. Not we're not simpletons, but simplicity. Now, that as we look at some of these things that are benefits from it, does it work? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. As I was praying last night, I just was saying, Lord, it's important. If I wasn't a pastor, would I have the same fervency? In other words, it's being in the ministry. The danger, of course, is that I get sucked into it and that I'm living on. If I wasn't a pastor, I wouldn't be this way. And so I say, Lord, it doesn't matter. I want to remain single-focused, focus on Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there's anything that you see that I'm veering off, that's robbing me from this, that from this passage that it talks about, let me know. Please let me know. Oh my goodness! I see. I have been around people that didn't finish well. Fortunately, none here. They didn't finish well. They finished poorly. They finished actually terribly. I don't know what happened. I don't know where they fell off, but all I know at one time, they were impressive, so impressive. And everybody talked about them, and they were just remarkable. And then later, not impressive at all. It's just, they've got nothing, there's nothing except some shallow remembrance of a day when they were walking with the Lord. But I don't even know how these things happen. Be a good forum just to sit around and talk about it sometime. Where does somebody go off? Was there little points along the way? I suspect we started making it more complicated, and then you have to balance all the balls to keep it going. But these are some of the things. Here's some questions to ask. Does my Christian life seem more like a job than a relationship? Ask that often. Does my Christian life seem more like a job than a relationship? Number two, I don't think this is in your notes. Do I talk more about Jesus than I do about my ministry? Good question, right? Do I talk more about Jesus than I do or my church or anything else? Wow. Is that what happens? We talk about the church, 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 talk about the church. Yeah, nothing wrong with that on one level. But at one point, I said, why is it that I'm talking more about Jesus or about the church than I am about Jesus? Because he's the main person. Am I becoming less religious and more Christ-like? Am I becoming more religious, or less religious and more Christ-like? I want to be. I'll come back to that. Here's number four. Do I have a balanced life? Would you say that? Would anybody else say that? That, Owen, you have a balanced life. You have great... Okay. It's okay. It's still all right. Remember last week we had to thrash this thing. Do I have a balanced life? In other words, there's time for fun at the tea house, and it's fun over here, and it's you don't even know how it mixes together. It's just that it's balanced. Times for laughter, times for hard work, times for agonizing times for visiting. There's all kinds of things that you could fit in there. But it's, I think if you're unbalanced, then you're waiting for a fall. You're going to crash because it's not balanced. You say, well, we had 16 hours of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could probably use some of that. 16 hours of prayer. Yeah, praise God, brother. Huh. Doesn't make me thirsty at all. I just am saying is that that's not balanced. And it needs to be. Would people describe me as driven? No one's ever described that, accused me of that, but it might have been somebody here. That's a good question. Am I driven? Does it look like am I resting in Christ? Am I becoming more seductive and more attractive to people that don't know a Savior? That when they're around me, that they would feel that I'm asking all of us, not just myself. So that's the drivenness is not, say, boy, that guy sure goes at a high rate, just going, just give her. Yeah. We'll see you at the end of the race and see what happens. Because that has to be governed almost all the time. Do I have a plan to refocus on Jesus? And what does it look like? Is it a matter of pouring out your heart? Is there a barrenness? Is there something? Because you weren't, if you were feeling dry, you weren't always feeling this. It's something more recent. And I would just encourage you, as I encourage my own heart, if I'm going to keep the Gillette edge on my life, then these things are absolute crucial things that... it is. That's all I can say about it. There's things that we have to refocus. You were focused, then you get off it, and it drops. And I would say get back as quick as you can. Get somebody else into your life to say, listen, I'm really feeling dry, and Jesus seems like some kind of a fantasy figure somewhere. I don't know. I don't pray. I don't do this. I don't do that. And again, I'd say work on this. So that you can refocus on Jesus, the loveliness of Him. Keep your focus on the Lord. What He has done 2,000 years ago and what He is prepared to do every day for the rest of your life and my life by the power of the Spirit. I'm going to read that again. Lord has done 2,000 years ago what He's prepared to do every day by the power of the Spirit and who you are because of that. Because that's true, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit has been given for today. That has implications for my life, that the Holy Spirit is quite willing to fill me and renew me. Last night, I was walking around preparing my heart, and Val had gone to bed, and I was walking back and forth and praying and thanking the Lord and walking back and forth. And Lord, stir me, rev me up. Don't let me be captured by the spirit of the age. I want to walk at that rhythm. Well, the other great men and women of God, it's not a matter of how much you accomplish, it's as your willingness to be obedient. And that you live a life of obedience. Imagine that. A life of obedience. And simply done in the power of the Spirit. And they're not trying to say, let's do it, work more, labor more, do more, get in more. No, I don't think that's the focus. Is to come into His presence and let Him define what is necessary. And you might find, as I've said to some Sundays ago, that there's a place for even shedding some tears. You just feel that your life. Say, Lord, I just come before You. There's a place for laying on the floor. I really believe that. But you want to bring everything into focus and everything balanced, and let the Lord work a great, great work in your life. I don't know what your secret is. Would you say that? How do we put it delicately? I'm not picking just on you. Would you say that you have a plan for refocusing? Would you say that your prayer life needs a little work without making it become like a job? It shouldn't be a job, it should feel like a relationship. How would it be for you? I'm going to put Marcel on this block because he does this, what I've just been describing. He has times alone. He has times where he reads. There's times when he meditates. And I'm able to observe it. And it's inspiring. But that's just one man's journey, right? Anybody else? What have you found that, say, when I do this, I keep on track. When I don't do this, I end up over here. How is it for you? There's no right or wrong answers. There's just what your experience has been. Or do you remember when you got off track? I said, boy, isn't that a terrible spot? Yeah. Please. And how often might you do that?
Well, I don't really have a lot of times where you're that busy, but it's when I have every day I go to the Lord if I have a free. But sometimes you just can't, and sometimes you're just hurrying around to see that. When I see that coming and I know it, it's you look at your iPad and your book every day and all that and that, then I make sure that I take the day out.
And you're able to. Yeah, yes. Some are not. They tell me they're not able to fit it all because they've got four children and this and this and this and this. It's very, very difficult, but necessary, whatever shape it takes. Somebody else. Oh, yes, that's an answer. Wow. Yeah, just before the IV goes in, that's a pretty good time to bring out that part. Thank you. Yeah, it is exactly what we're talking about. Somebody else. It's a good time to do it. That's what we're saying. Oh, yeah, please. So you carve out a spot for you there. Yeah. Somebody else? Have you tried something that didn't work? I got lots of that. That didn't work. Somebody else? So it's flat out or... You know the truth of it, though, Carl? And I could say this to you. I know this is true. We kind of like your obsessiveness.
Don't tell me that.
We like that high speed. But there's also a joy that seems least to us outsiders. Oh, that's good. Because some people... sometimes you should light a bomb under them. Yes, yes, they should. They don't know anything about obsessiveness, right? I'm sure the Lord can set you free from that. Oh, that's great. Somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? The balcony? Let's take one more, and then let's just have a little bit, a couple moments of prayer, and asking the Lord. Maybe different ones could just pop up, and just pray over some of the thoughts of this. I think there's something worthwhile to me. You're going to make it in your life. I can tell you precisely where you're going to. You make it in the closet, in that time alone. If you're not in that closet, it doesn't matter what you do. You'll be out of sorts. There's something about you making it or breaking it in that time where you get alone. Everyone else, you have to push them out and to get down before the Lord and cry unto him. And then you come out of that and you're full of the Lord. And it's powerful and wonderful. So let's just quietly say it. Maybe you just want to just pray just short prayer, just popcorn prayers, but Father, I'm aware that there are forces against us to take us away from the simplicity in Jesus. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, that this relationship that we have with you doesn't depend on anything that you can bring to us, that you are it all.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Yes, Lord, we're aware that it's Christ in us doing the work. Lord, if there's areas of our life here today, I pray that you might just gently nudge us towards your Son. And we love you. You are so, everything my soul wished it could be, it is in my relationship with you. We pray for the body of Christ here. Just light a fire under us that we not be falling asleep. Anybody else? Lord, if we've been off the center, cause us to refocus. And we'll thank you. Lord, I pray that Jesus will always be central to our hearts. Not religion, not rules, not creeds, but Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We've got about a nicer morning we're going to get for a while because the rain is coming on Wednesday. Join us if you can on the patio. Fellowship would be good. Thank you.